G'day punters and welcome to Winning Post's preview podcast for the weekend of Saturday, April 20, the Easter weekend. I'm John Barker. Joel Marshall is joining me as usual. And Joel, well, what a cracking weekend of racing all around Australia, headed by a couple of Group 1s at Randwick.
Yeah, we've had the championships, but still Group 1 action to come at Randwick, as you mentioned. Look, it's not a vintage all-age stakes, I don't think. I've found it hard to get overly enthused into the race. Hard to sort of be keen on anything, really. Champagne Stakes, I think that could be a bit of quality to it this year. There's a couple of a nice colt and a nice filly, Castelvecchio Loving Gabby, who are looking to dominate the market. Both look like they're going to be better at three, but they're here in the Group 1 mile, and yeah, a couple of other stakes races that a couple look very tricky, a couple that I think we can narrow down. So yeah, I don't know, a little bit of a ho-hum finish, I think, that all-age stakes. Yeah, just, well, it's not getting me overly excited anyway.
I suppose it's kind of always the way, isn't it?
Yeah.
Just after all those millions and millions of dollars that are available over the 2 weeks of the championship, it is always a slight anti-climax this third week at Randwick before we start heading to the provincial venues next week. We start, though, we'll take you right through the black type at Randwick, and we start in race three. And this is a race that has thrown up some very good horses over the years. It's for three-year-olds over 2,000 metres. It is the Celebrations Group 3 Frank Packer Plate.
Yeah, I've gone three Purple Sector, just sticking with him. He was sort of an early derby sort of hopeful for myself. He ran well first up. He struck a couple of wet tracks, got badly interfered with in one run, and they didn't go to the derby. They backed off. He went to the Carbine Club instead, and he ran really well. And I just don't think he was handling the wet. I think drier track 2000's ideal for him, so I'm just going to go with him one more each way. To beat one, the chosen one, who comes out of the derby, had to make a long run from the back of the field after going back from the wide gate. Five, Karif, he was warming up nicely in the Tullock, ran fourth. We saw the Quinella from the Tullock go on and Quinella the derby, so that's a good form line. And in for fourth, number 11, Amangiri, the filly, who has opened up favourite. She was favourite in the Adrian Knox and just got beaten. And now she takes on the boys.
Your value bit comes up in the fourth. It's the Hong Kong Jockey Club JHB Car Stakes. Over 1,400 metres for three-year-old fillies at Group 3 level. Well, she doesn't win out of turn into the abyss, but you think it might be her turn this time?
Yeah, unfortunately, there's not much value about. She's actually opened up favourite, $4. A couple of horses were scratched at acceptance stage, Mortaja, and a couple of others that would have been in the market. So, yeah, I might have to double-think about it. Think again about my value, but she's definitely on top. As you said, she's only won the once, but she was competitive in the spring. She had wide gates a lot too. She's come back this prep. I thought she was just okay first up on the wet after a good trial, but a bit better track last time. She was very good. She was nailed late by Multaja. 1400 not an issue, and barrier one, so she gets her chance in what not an overly strong Group 3 fillies race. In for second at number 10, Jen Rules. This is a horse I've always had a little bit of time for. Just fell in last start at the provincials, but she had a big weight. She was second to Multaja prior to that. Five, So Taken, and six, Laburnum, next best, also coming out of the PJ Bell.
Race five at Royal Randwick on Saturday is the Japan Racing Association Plate. 2,000 metre, Group 3, 14 to face the starter. Just the seven of them trained by Chris Waller.
Yeah, and a few double acceptors too.
Because he's got seven in a race in Brisbane as well.
Yeah, so that's, you know, he hasn't really done that up in Brisbane yet. He's just sort of been picking away at them, but yeah, he's got seven of the 11 in the tail stakes. Look, I've gone with 11 Abdon, who's one of Chris's. He's not a dual acceptor. He's had the two runs back. He was a little bit tricky to catch last prep, but he did finally get the win, but loved the improvement second up, and 2,000 metres down to 53. He's probably the more of a value bet for the card for me now that he's opened up at $12. So 11 Abdon to beat two. LeBron, very good second up on a track that he doesn't really like on the wet, firmer condition suit. Five, Harapaw, he was really good second up. He's also a double acceptor. And 13, Emperor's Way, race didn't really pan out for him at Caulfield last time.
First of the Group 1s and first leg of the quaddie is race 6, Moet and Chandon Champagne Stakes, 1,600 metres for the two-year-olds at level weights.
Nine, Loving Gabby, I've been with her right through, and she was good on debut. We haven't collected since, but not really through any fault of her own, didn't have much luck in the diamond or the slipper, yet she ran well. And then last time out in the size, she just seemed to wobble a little bit up the straight, just wander around. When she knuckled down the last 50, she really savaged the line for second to Microphone. So I think 1600 will be fine. I think she's the one to beat. One Castelvecchio, he did the break between runs going into the size. It looked like he was just going to storm down the outside and sweep past them. He probably just peaked on his run. This has probably been his grand final, having missed the slipper. Four, Fortress Command. Like the way this one's going, Blinkers went on in a trial last week and went nicely. We'll lead up the 1600, I would have thought. And five, War Baron. Well, this was the roughie that I was tipping last week. I reckon he was going to run third at about $6 a place, and of course involved in that terrible fall with his stablemate Persan. They're both lining up on Saturday, so they seem to have come through that okay. I think if you're looking for a real bolter, War Baron, as I said, I reckon he would have run a place last week. I think at 80 to 1, he might be worth a dollar. But I am very keen on Loving Gabby. She's my best of the day.
The other Group 1 in the second leg of the quarter is Race 7, the Schwips. All-aged stakes at Weight for Age. As you mentioned, Joel, not the most inspiring Weight for Age Group 1 field we have seen this season, but there's a couple here, and you've got them first and second, who are desperately looking for and arguably desperately deserve a Group 1 breakthrough in Osborne Bulls and Pirata.
Yeah, look, I've lent the way of Pirata. It's probably not a horse I'm going to back, to be honest. It's probably a race I won't be having a bet in. But I've gone Pirata. He finished alongside Osborne Bulls. They were miles off centre and a lane. He was just utterly dominant again in the TJ. I just thought 1400 was what Pirata was looking for now. Osborne Bulls, the 1400, he has won at it, but I'm just not sure if that's his optimum trip. I know he's by Street Cry. But look, he's drawn barrier one, so if he's ever going to run it in this company, it'll be on Saturday. In for third, number four, Home of the Brave. This is an interesting runner from the Godolphin team. They're also accepted for the Hallmark, but I believe they're going to run here. He could go press forward and give them plenty to chase. He's been trialling well. We know he's got a high cruising speed. And 11 Young Star, she's a favourite of mine. Not really know what to make of her trials, but 1400, she'll be running on. And yeah, she's probably the roughie to include in your multiples.
Last of the black type at Randwick in third leg of the Quaddy TAB Hallmark Stakes over 1,200 metres.
Yeah, well, the market could turn on its head here. Home of the Brave, I think, has opened about even money. So I guess, you know, if he runs here, he probably stays as it is. But if he gets scratched, the odds will all come tumbling in. I've gone with I'm just basing my tips on that he won't be here. If he is, obviously include him in the Quaddy. But if he's not, I'm with Viridane, number four on top. The stablemate, he was good first up, disappointed on the wet in the Galaxy, but a recent trial was excellent for Hugh Bowman, and he takes the mount here. Five Easy Eddie, Mr. Consistency, he'll run well, placed in the Galaxy. 10 Trekking, just took off in his recent trial, he really looks ready to go, and 9 Brave Songs, a pretty consistent performer as well. So 4, 5, 10, 9, as I said, if Home of the Brave's here, he's obviously a winning hope.
All right, and we may as well just round out the Quaddy. Now, the last race is a benchmark 100 over 1400 metres, and our panel, including you, quite a few of our panel, very keen on Take It In Turn, who we've marked at $13, might be shorter than that in reality. And the favourite here needs two scratchings to get a run, and that's Star of the Seas.
Yeah, is shorter than $13, 6.50 and into 5, so already some early support. For Take It In Turn, he showed a fair bit of promise in his first Australian prep. That was when with Darren Weir in Melbourne, he won second up off a pretty good first up run. I think he's going to get better over further, but he's been trialling well. Bit of speed here. He hit the line hard. Yeah, I was hoping for a bit better price than that. However, 16, Star of the Seas is the favourite, but second emergency, so he's going to need a run, but he's flying. Six in for third, which is Seaway. He can bounce back from that run last start. Probably just found it too wet. And Mahalango, the other winning hope, also an emergency, but drawn to get cover, which he didn't get last time out. Loving Gabby, my best race, 6, number 9, but I could also push you into a dollar each way on War Baron in that race. And, yeah, I like Into the Abyss, but now that she's come up short, I guess my value make it Abdon in the 5th.
All righty, Caulfield, as is traditional, is the venue for Easter Saturday racing in Melbourne, and as a result, we've got 4 weeks of Caulfield in a row, which this is the third. And there's two Group 3s, as always, there is on Easter Saturday. The first of those is Race 7, Ladbrokes Victoria Handicap over 1,400 metres.
Six Nantali for me. Now, she's an acceptor for the All Age, and I didn't mention her before, but if you're going wide in first fours, I'd be throwing her in if they go to Sydney. If not, I think she'll be very hard to beat here. I just think she's flying. Loved her win last start. Took on the boys and just let go with a good turn of foot. I just think she's just in the zone here, and a good sign that they've chucked her in that Group 1. And if they elect to stay at home, I think she'll be very hard to beat. Number 6 to beat 7, Manolo Blahnik, 3 Streets of Avalon and 5 Kimono.
Very similar for me. Manolo Blahnik on top, and in fact made him my best of the day. 6 Nantali, 3 Streets of Avalon, and I chucked in a possible improver, number 4, Sir Coney. The other Group 3 race at Caulfield on Saturday is Little Alpine Funerals Easter Cup over 2,000.
Two Night's Watch for me, just hoping the drop in class. He's been at Wait for Age Group 1 in the Australian Cup and the Randvit, and he's been disappointing. But his first two runs back from a spell were pretty good, so I don't know if it's a case that he just hasn't come up. Maybe he's just not at that Wait for Age level yet. So back to this, only 3.5 above the minimum. He gets his chance to hit back. 3, Harapore. As mentioned, he's also in Sydney. Goodwin second up. 9, Mantastic. And 5, Furion next best.
Plain seal for me on the minimum, number 8. To beat another on the minimum who has just gone right off the boil, but certainly showed a bit of talent in his younger days, and that's Morton's Fork. Thought could come good. Harapore for 3rd. And Red Alto was a good run second up. Goes in for 4th, 8, 7, 3 and 4. My best, as I mentioned, was Manolo Blahnik, and my value bet, the import, was good first up. Rise to 2,000 metres is a big plus. Race 2, number 8, Lord Gododdin. You?
In Nantali will be my best if they stay here, and my value is Fidelia, race 6. A tricky fillies race, but really liked her first up run at Caulfield. She'll be fitter for that. She wasn't far off Sunlight in a pretty decent race last prep, so she's got a bit of quality about her. Not a bad fillies race, though. There's a few chances, but she's come up about $9 or $10, and I think that's good enough each way.
All right, well, speaking of Easter traditions, they don't come more traditional than Oakbank, although, of course, we have had a bit of a switcheroo in recent years, and the Great Eastern now, of course, run on the Saturday rather than the Monday. We've already had the Von Dusa, won by ZM. ZM will, you'd think, be winning the Great Eastern as well. There's only 6 of the minute. Special weights, he's only 4 off the minimum. Simply wins, you would certainly think. There is a stakes race there. It's race 8, the Oakbank Stakes, over 1,100, and Richo likes number 7, Dispatch. Kept fresh since an impressive first-up win on March 11. Richo's best race, 4, number 5, that is Northern River, and his value bet race 9, number 10, Chavot. The other big jumps race on Saturday, of course, is the Classic Hurdle, the Thomas Farms Classic Hurdle race 2, and Killarney Kid there set to give Steve Pateman and Patrick Payne good kickoff to the feature double. And you won't be retiring on backing those two at $1.50 and $1.30. Joel, any thoughts on Oakbank?
No, nothing for me. And yet ZM has opened officially at $1.33, so very short. No odds for Killarney Kid yet. But, as you said, you won't be getting rich off those two.
Doomben, the venue for Brisbane racing on Saturday, and we have 4 listed races there. Now, Joel, because we were so flat out on Wednesday getting both best bets and winning post out, you have taken the week off from the panel at Doomben, but have you had a look? It looks like yes. I can see some numbers on your sheet.
Yeah, so I've had a look at the stakes races.
We'll start at race 5, and that's the Aquis. Haven't they given up racing? They're still sponsoring in Queensland. They're just not racing any horses.
Yes, that must have been locked in, I'd say, that one.
But it is the Aquis Tail Stakes. It's over 1,615 metres. It is a listed event. In fact, these 4 races are all at listed level. And this is the one we were talking about before, Joel. 11 in it and 7 of them trained by Chris Waller.
Yes, so he's gang tackling it. I'm tipping against him, which is a recipe for disaster. But Order Again's a horse always had plenty of time for. He would have gone close in the Queensland Derby, but he went amiss after winning. Maybe he ran second in the Rough Habit. Certainly went well in the lead-up anyway. And he's been sparingly raced since. Good win second up. He'll be hard to beat. 5K on it. He can bounce back on a firmer track. 1 Tom Melbourne. Well, look, you know, if he runs up to his best, he'll be blowing these away, really. You know, he got that win first up to break the sort of non-winners tag. He's battled a little bit since, but he's pretty well placed here with 58.5 and 3, My Nordic Hero. Don't think he handled the wet first up. He can improve.
Race 6, TAB Ascot handicap is over 1,200.
9, Bold Chance. Had a really good prep last time in and returned with a good win. This is his toughest test to date, but he gets his chance down on the minimum. 2, I'm a Ripper. He's just that. He's a beauty. He goes forward, gives his all, rarely out of the finish. 3, Tie Zone. He was excellent in the Wheatwood, just from an impossible position on the turn. And 7, Mr. Marbleous. He was given no peace up front in the Wheatwood. He'll be up there battling away with I'm a Ripper. And if he can get across from Barrier 10, he can certainly improve.
The three-year-olds go around over 1,110 metres at set weights in race 7, which is the Spirit of Boom McDittman Plate.
Well, Plague Stone here from the Godolphin camp. He's been gelded. This is a horse that's always promised plenty. Maybe he'll deliver now that he's, well, they'll probably step back a notch here up to Queensland for this sort of company. And, yeah, I'm assuming they'll be hoping that he can find his best with the gelding operation on top from 1F Troop, who's a horse that has tackled strong company since showing plenty as a two-year-old. 16 in for third. I think this is the value, having come up $23, churning, and a couple of really nice races last prep. And one of them was behind the very smart Zeus Style. From Barrier 4, I could certainly entertain him at the odds. And 4, Rockbeat. He's let go with a really good turn of foot to win both runs this prep, and I think he can probably measure up to this.
And the last of the black type events at Doomben on Saturday, race 8, the Ray White Ascot Princess Stakes for three-year-old fillies over 16.15.
Gone with 12 word for word from the Chris Waller camp. Larry Cassie to ride, impressed first up. I think she can go right on with the job here. 2, Light Up the Room, was doing best work late at Toowoomba. 7, Bell Rock. Filly always had a bit of time. 4, she went back to the midweekers and got the win on the board last time. And number 3, Baccarat Baby. A little bit disappointing this prep. Both runs against the older males, though. Bit of a freshen, a trial, and back to three-year-old filly's company. She can improve.
All righty, well, that wraps up a big Saturday of racing around Australia. Can't tell you about the New Zealand racing this week because we are recording this early on Wednesday afternoon and we don't have the fields for New Zealand at this stage. Just ducking back to Friday, Good Friday. Racing at both Ascot and Launceston. We've got full form guides for you in this week's Winning Post, which, as you should be aware, is out Thursday morning all around Australia with form for Thursday, Thursday night at racing.com park, Friday evening Eastern time with the Ascot meeting, Friday night at Launceston, our usual Saturday coverage. And then we've got 3 full form guides for Sunday, Fields for Everywhere Else, and we've got form for Sandown Monday and Fields for Everywhere Else. So it is an absolutely massive 112-page winning post with... it's going to take you right through from Thursday to Monday, and Good Friday is just looking like a much more enjoyable day these days. We've got this football, both codes of football on, and later in the day, something to bet on. So just make sure you got your winning post for all that. I mentioned in Good Friday where Ascot has a couple of black type races. The first of them, race 7, Sheila Gwynn Classic. This is a listed event for fillies and mares over 1,400. BJ Ryan feels that Lady Cosmology, there's no established leader in the race. She can go straight to the front, control proceedings, led throughout to win the Burgess Queen last campaign over this track and trip. So has the runs on the board and has benefited from a first up. Second, the big race at Ascot is race 8. It's the Montague Partners WA Size Produce Stakes, 1,400 for two-year-olds at Group 3 level. And BJ feels it's a racing 2, as indeed the Karakata Plate was between number 1, Dig Deep, and number 3, Tin Snip, who ran first and second in the Karakata. He feels that Tin Snip here can turn the tables, so he's with number 3, Tin Snip, to beat 1, Dig Deep in the WA Size. Lady Cosmology, race 7, number 4, was his best, and his value bet, race 9, number 3, Flying Roar. Well, Joel, I've already done the spiel for the winning post, so our best $20 bet for the weekend is all we have remaining. What is yours?
Yeah, all right. Well, I'll play the Champagne Stakes. Maybe $18 a win, Loving Gabby. $2 a win more, Baron, just in case, just to give you a bit of a play on the champagne. But yeah, not a weekend I'm overly keen on, to be honest.
I'm going to go to Caulfield and have $10 each way, race 2, number 8, Lord Godolphin. Have a great Easter, everybody. Safe driving. Back plenty of winners, drink plenty of water. We'll talk to you next week when we're back to normal on a Thursday afternoon on the Preview Podcast.